Chapter 11. Sydney Carton plays his last card. 52 prisoners were due to die the next day, and Charles Darnay was among them. He sat alone in his cell and thought about what had happened. He was young, and it was hard for him to accept that he had to die. He called the jailer and bought paper and ink, intending to put his affairs in order before the next day. He wrote a long letter to Lucy, assuring her of his love. He explained that he had known nothing about her father's imprisonment and nothing about what his father and uncle had done to the young peasant girl and her family. He told Lucy to comfort her father for the disaster that had overtaken them and to look after their daughter. Then he wrote to Dr. Manette. He told the doctor that he did not consider him in any way responsible for his death. He finished writing these letters and then lay down to sleep. He woke early the next morning and began to walk around the cell restlessly. He had never seen the guillotine, and he wondered what it looked like and exactly how he would be tied to it. The hours passed quickly. He heard 9 o'clock strike and knew he would never hear it strike again. Then the clock struck 10 and 11 and 12. Just after 1 o'clock, he heard footsteps outside in the corridor. The key was put in the lock and turned. Then he heard a voice whispering quickly in English.
He's never seen me before. Go in alone. Be quick.
The door opened and Sydney Carton came into the cell. He put his finger to his lips to show that he wanted Darnay to remain silent. Then he stepped forward and shook the prisoner's hand eagerly.
Are you a prisoner too?
Darnay asked him in dismay.
No. I have influence with one of the jailers here, that's all. I've come from your wife. She has a request that she wants you to grant. What is it? You must do what she asks.
Carton said urgently.
There's no time to ask questions, no time for explanations. You must just do exactly what I tell you. Do you understand?
Darnay nodded his head.
Good. Now I want you to take off your boots and put on mine.
Carton ordered.
And hurry, we haven't got much time.
Escape is impossible,
Darnay said.
You'd only die with me if we tried it.
I'm not asking you to escape,
Carton replied.
If I do ask you to escape, you can refuse. But now take this cravat of mine and put it on. Give me yours.
With great quickness, Carton exchanged clothes with the prisoner. Darnay protested all the while, but the lawyer would not listen to him.
It's madness to try it,
he kept saying.
Don't throw away your life trying to save mine.
I'm not asking you to escape,
the lawyer repeated.
If I do, you can always refuse.
He looked around the cell and saw the paper and ink on the table.
Go to the table and write exactly what I tell you,
he commanded.
Write exactly what I say, word for word.
Darnay sat down at the table and picked up the pen.
What shall I write?
The prisoner asked. Carton began to dictate the letter.
If you remember a conversation we had a long time ago, you will understand this when you see it.
As he dictated, Carton's hand moved into his jacket pocket and he took out a handkerchief. Suddenly, he placed this handkerchief over Darnay's mouth and held it there tightly. The prisoner struggled for a few seconds, and then his head fell forward onto the table. He was asleep. Carton went to the door of the cell and called softly.
Come here.
John Barsad entered the cell. He was very nervous and frightened.
You see?
Carton said, pointing to the unconscious Charles Darnay.
Your danger is not so very great.
And will you keep your word?
Barsad asked.
Are you really determined to die for him, Mr. Carton?
I'll keep my word,
the lawyer said firmly.
No one will know that it's me who goes to the guillotine, and not Darnay. Now go and call for help,
he ordered.
Tell the jailer that Darnay's visitor was overcome with grief when he saw his old friend and has fainted. Get the jailer to help you carry him outside. Take him to Mr. Lorry's house and put him in the carriage that's waiting there.
A few minutes later, Carton was alone in the cell. There was quietness around him, and then he heard footsteps outside. Cell doors were thrown open, and harsh commands could be heard.
Allez, allez! Viens ici!
It was time. The jailer turned the key in the lock and gave the summons.
Evrémonde, follow me.
The prisoner left the cell and followed the jailer into a large room. All the prisoners due to die that afternoon were gathered there. He stood in a dark corner by himself, worried that someone who knew the real Charles Darnay would see that he was an impostor. He had been standing there for a few moments when a young girl came up to him. She peered at him in the darkness.
It is me, Citizen Evrémonde, she said. I am the seamstress you met in the other prison.
He bowed his head in greeting.
May I ride with you, Citizen Evrémonde?
The girl asked humbly.
It would give me courage to hold your hand.
She raised her eyes to look into his face. Suddenly, she gave a gasp and stepped back in confusion. Her eyes were wide open and she turned white. Carton put his finger to his lips.
Are you dying for him?
She asked.
And his wife and child,
the lawyer said. The seamstress gazed at him, lost in admiration.
Let me stand by you and hold your hand,
she begged. Carton put out his hand.
To the end,
he promised firmly. While the prisoners waited for the tumbrils that would carry them to death, a carriage left Mr. Lorry's house. The carriage drove to the gates of the city.
Papers!
A voice cried. The papers were handed over and the guard read them.
Dr. Manette. Which one is he?
Mr. Lorry pointed to the old man.
And his daughter Lucy. Where is she?
Mr. Lorry pointed again.
Is this the child, Lucy?
Mr. Lorry nodded.
Sidney Carton. Which one is he?
Mr. Lorry pointed at a figure lying in the corner of the carriage.
Forward!